Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Welcome to an HBO podcast from the HBO Late Night series, Real Time with Bill Maher.
Okay. All right, here we are in overtime. Kellyanne, if Trump runs again, will you help with the campaign?
Well, let's see what he decides. I want to help get rid of Biden and Harris because I agree with the vast majority of Americans. They're doing a terrible job on the issues that affect us most.
Gas.
Which Americans say is inflation.
What is the price of gas? I haven't heard lately.
In California, $6.
It's $6.
I'm absolutely going to support the Republican nominee.
All right. I'm so glad I have a Tesla. I don't have to buy gas. Corkell, with the advent of social media, political protests have certainly changed since the last century. Is this for the better or for worse?
Depends on the quality of the character of the people who participate.
Technology is just a means. What you bring to it.
What you bring to it, you know?
But certainly, I mean, you would admit that it allows more people to hear about something going on. I mean, you could have the version of a flash mob.
That's
true. You can get people in an hour to show up someplace.
That's true. But in the end, it's about quality rather than quantity.
Right. And it's also, I mean, a lot of people think they do something when they just post something on Instagram.
Exactly. Like they got a mass movement, all these likes here and likes there.
Right.
No, it's just momentary situation.
So you're saying you got to actually get in the street.
You got to get decent, courageous, visionary people who believe in something bigger than their own ego.
So who do you... Well, boy, are you in the wrong town for that.
But I tell you, your indictment of Hollywood was powerful.
Oh, thank you.
Powerful, dope brother. Definitely.
Just think of the culture,
there's roughly, Canada and California have roughly the same populations. More Californians kill each other with knives than Canadians kill each other with anything.
Right. Well,
so that's a culture.
It's not fair to compare it to Canadians. They're very polite.
Well, Canadians got their problems.
Yes, but
our dominant myth is the frontier.
Regeneration
through violence.
No, I mean, it's...
The guns...
I mean, yes.
Proliferating, domestic violence against gay brothers, lesbian sisters, trans, violence against black people, violence against women. I mean, that's one of the three features we have to come to terms with.
And I'm
Richard Hofstadter talks about this in a great essay, right? Right before he died.
Violence in America. But Slotkin's great trilogy. Gunfighter Nation, it's a cultural thing. That's why we had to have counter-hegemonic and countervailing forces against that kind of violence.
So, thank you for your compliment, but I'm sure the usual suspects will see that tonight and just tear it apart. But it
but
is
what
undeniable.
Can they say?
It is.
What can they say
every week? I'm right every week,
well,
but
I don't
they
know
still
about
say
that.
It.
No, I don't know about the whole thing. Nobody's right all the time.
You're right to call it hypocrisy every week. And that is hypocrisy.
You can't have these images
in front of these kids and pretend it doesn't matter.
And what's interesting is that we used to talk about that, and then we just stopped.
But how is this different from the watch what you say stuff that you object to on other issues?
What do you mean, watch what I say?
No, I mean, well, people like telling comedians, like, don't tell these jokes about trans people. That's harmful. It can encourage violence, that sort of thing. I mean, it's the same sort of feedback effect argument, isn't it? I mean, that, you know, if entertainment matters, it changes how people behave.
Right.
And so either that's something that's important in deciding what
if you're talking about trans in a way that's hateful, yes, that should be called out. But if you're just talking about it as a subject...
Well, but I mean, that's sort of then you get into definitional questions. The people who are objecting find whatever they're objecting
the
to.
The problem is that the left has moved the goalpost to if you just bring it up, you're a bigot. And that's not, no, I can't get down with that.
But so.
And also, we're talking about killing people here. We're talking about I mean,
you're talking about an industry that does tons of polls and focus groups to figure out what sells. And apparently what sells is having all this gun violence. And we know who the customers are. And you're absolutely right. Look, you quantified it tonight. If people want to disagree with you, they're going to say, now you sound like a conservative. Why would you dare talk about mental health? Well, there's a reason we talk about mental health. Generation Z tells pollsters that they are suffering from emotional connections, mental health, lost learning. In fact, the America Rescue Plan, which passed a couple months ago, there's $112 billion in there for post-COVID school funding, and it's really meant to be for lost learning, new counselors, mental health. About 93% of it is still unspent. We can even shift it over to harden schools, keep them safer, do the mental health stuff. But let's stop pretending it's always about one thing.
And
let's
it's not saying we shouldn't make the change the gun laws
stop
also.
Stop pretending this doesn't
but
matter.
But that's part of it. And as long as you have this out there, where everything, every movie these kids see is about somebody picking
and
up
a... And video game. You didn't even...
And video games. Right. And
video games. Are mimicking
movies. I mean,
movies.
It's a big part of the puzzle.
I think the harden the school stuff is bad. I think, you know, it's when you treat schools like a fortress and when you put kids through these shooter drills that are traumatizing, it's like sending this message.
I don't know.
That
I
you should be afraid wherever
children.
You go.
Right. You know what? I don't want the schools to feel like fortresses, but I'll be damned. We have armed guards protecting our money at banks. We should be protecting our children better in our schools.
There's 100,000 public schools in the United States. Like, the idea that you're going to send armed guards to every public school in the United States.
No, that's true.
Someone was saying send the national... You would, like, if you put... The National Guard's, like, 400,000 people. You'd use a quarter of the National Guard.
I don't think we need a federal response.
No, but I'm saying that's a huge amount of personnel.
I want to get back to Brother Josh's crucial point about the arts, because any time a civilization or an empire is reaching its nadir, the artists play a very important role for truth-telling. Because they're in many ways the vanguard of species in that sense. And when Brother Bill says, well, the comedians ought to have not just the right, but they ought to be able to allow for the incongruities, the contradictions, the falling shorts of anybody, no matter who they are, what color, sexual orientation, I think that has to be defended. But there's a radical difference, and you all tell me what you think about George Garland's and Richard Pryor's and the Moms Mavely, they laughed with people. Mm-hmm. Too many of the comedians these days laugh at people.
Who are you talking about?
You're in the legacy of George Garland. You're in the legacy of the great comics.
Okay, well, who
because you are willing to laugh at yourself as you then laugh at others.
But you're not mentioning, you're not saying the names of the people you were saying do the opposite.
Well,
I want to know who's
forget them rather quickly when I see them, because they're just...
You're not talking about Dave Chappelle?
Aren't even funny.
No, Dave Chappelle's a great artist.
Okay, so not Dave Chappelle, Ricky Gervais?
No, Richard, I don't know that one that well. I don't keep track of all of them. But David Chappelle is a great one as well. But the thing is that it's the precious humanity of the gays and lesbians and trans and black folk and women and white men and you know, Chicanos and so forth, because we're all in this human project together.
Right.
And if we can't laugh at each other, then we miss something very deeply. But when all we can do is laugh at each other, that's Hobbes on comedy, right? Sudden glory, laughing at somebody's misfortune, elevating yourself over somebody else. That's not that funny.
Mm-hmm. No,
that's not that
no
funny.
One's
put yourself as the object of this. And that's what you all do at your best. We're just talking about at your best now.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we're not. No one's advocating punching down. But
I've seen some comics. They just come and look on the front row and start talking about how people look in their clothes. And
I said, where are you going? Where were you at that? Where are you at the fucking Laugh Factory on a Tuesday night? I mean, the open micers. I mean, you know, yes.
maybe it's the open mic. Yeah, maybe it's the open mic crowd.
Let me take you to some better comics. So, let me ask a final question. Trump is going to be running again, I'm sure. Kellyanne will be the campaign manager because he's going to say you stuck up.
Well, I'm one for one because I had nothing to do with his $1.4 billion 2020 boondoggle.
Right, okay, right. Okay, you're one for one. And you wouldn't throw him under the bus tonight, so, you know. Let me just ask.
You shouldn't have people on here to and make this human dignity question, will you throw him under the bus or not? We were talking about January 6th, and I wanted to gently remind everybody, it's not a courtroom. it's a hearing, and that they didn't even have the guts, I think I said balls, to subpoena him, and they never do.
But, I mean, you say here you'll support the Republican nominee, but, like, we don't have a Republican nominee yet. Why don't you want them to nominate somebody else?
We don't even know what she does. Her weekend schedule always says the vice president has nothing on her public schedule this weekend.
But I'm saying,
I want to get a vice president who's working
for
the country.
Why shouldn't they nominate Ron DeSantis or Glenn Youngkin or some other governor who's popular in the state who doesn't have the baggage that Donald Trump has and who didn't...
DeSantis just beat him in a straw poll.
So they should... The Republican Party should nominate who it wants to nominate. But I will tell you, in these primaries,
you're a Republican.
They're all running...
You get an opinion, too.
And I'll vote for whom I want. I absolutely will, and I'll keep that private. But listen, because that's my right. But listen.
It's a right.
Here's the thing. They're all running as America First. They're all running on energy independence, better tax cuts.
High gas.
They're all running on that right now.
It's driving me up the wall.
I am curious. I would like to know, since you're telling the Republicans they should nominate Josh respectfully, I would like to know how this party that had 25 Democrats running for president last time, you had an openly gay man, a very impressive person, you had an African-American man, you had a black woman in Kamala Harris, you had an American Samoa, that's Tulsi Gabbard, not Elizabeth Warren, you had a female socialist, you had a male socialist, and you ended up with the old white guy from Washington. How did that happen? How is the Democratic Party, this party,
I'll tell you how.
Black
voters in South Carolina picked the guy who could win.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And
he's a terrible president.
Well,
but the sad thing was, for the first time in American history, the most progressive voting bloc of black people did not vote for the most progressive candidate, who was Brother Bernie Sanders.
Right.
That's very important to keep in mind.
Right.
Because Bernie was much more tied to the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. than Brother Joe Biden was.
Oh, for sure.
But the black leadership, with Clyburn and others, tied to the pharmaceutical company, so he can't go for Medicare for all. No, he's tied to big money, like most of these milquetoast politicians. They tied to big money. So you got Bernie out there laying out his vision, and we were winning in November, remember?
What do you mean that's the first time? You had in 2016, you had the black voters lining up strongly behind Hillary Clinton over Bernie, and in 2008, you had them behind Obama, who was not as far left as John Edwards.
Right.
I think that I think it's a long tradition of pragmatism
among
black voters.
We can say pragmatism or truncated perception.
And in surveys now, you get white liberals having moved to the left.
But the difference was that
black liberals.
This last election, though, brother, when we were winning in Nevada, in that sense, we could have had a major push for black voters for Bernie. Where the first time he ran, it was an interesting kind of project. They didn't think that he really had a chance. And I mean, I supported Obama in 2008, but he had 4%, and the black folk were not voting for him.
Maybe people just are not that in love with socialism.
No, it's not socialism.
Well, Bernie is a socialist.
He's a New Deal, New Liberal.
He likes to call himself a socialist.
He calls himself a socialist.
A lot of people like to call themselves things. He didn't run on the socialist project.
Why would you want to call yourself?
We know that.
Why would you want to call yourself a term that doesn't have a positive connotation?
Because he's in love with Eugene Debs, and he's in love with Norman Thomas.
People don't know who Eugene Debs is.
And if they did,
he wouldn't be popular.
Man, you got to teach people who they are.
I think he owns his socialist views, though. I think he's very proud of that, frankly. And he just primaried a Democratic congressman in Oregon who was backed by Biden, and the more socialist candidate won.
We have polling on this. I mean, the white liberal is to the left of the average Democratic black voter.
No question.
Right?
Every time.
Social issues and on economic issues.
And education.
Right. Most black voters are moderate, not liberal. White Democrats.
Take the poor people's campaign with William Barber and Thea Harris. We're going to be
sometimes
there next
you're
week
just,
with him. The black community is very supportive of William Barber and company with the poor people's campaign.
Okay.
Just as, or even more than the white brothers.
Why is Joe Biden losing their support right now, though, according to lots of polls and articles?
Gas.
Inflation.
Fucking gas.
Inflation.
I got to go.
He likes backbone.
Fucking gas.
Catch all new episodes of Real Time with Bill Maher every Friday night at 10, or watch him anytime on HBO On Demand. For more information, log on to HBO.com.